Hi, and welcome to the Just Riding Along show.
Hello, and welcome to it's supposed to be welcome to tonight. It doesn't matter. It's episode 226, and tonight's show is either brought to you by potato rotating in the microwave or 3210. That's not a gear ratio. That's the fluid ounces and ABV of Kenny's beer.
Yep.
So I'm talking. I'll go first.
What's the potato microwave thing?
It's how dumb I am.
I'll talk about it a little bit when I go into my part of the show.
Yeah. So for me, not really much on the docket other
You didn't answer the microwave question.
Andrea is going to talk about it.
Okay. I do like to put my nose on the microwave and like really peer in and get a really good eye on what's going on. Does anybody else do that?
You know what, Kenny?
It's got that like tint layer on it. Like, you could just peel the tint off so you can see.
Well, no,
see
it's
better.
Also, it's like me taunting radiation as well, because it's like, you know, it's right there, but it can't get you.
Well, see, I was thinking that the other day. I'm like, it'd be a lot more fun to watch your food microwave if it wasn't for the like microwave stopping perforated film on the window. But because it has the perforated film on the window, I won't die. But because it has it, I can't watch my food microwave. And it's kind of a...
Well, next time you do that, put your nose like on the door and you can see it a lot better.
Should I just go microwave something now and do it?
No.
Really, I don't have anything to talk about other than proceeds to talk for 15 minutes. No, in all seriousness, I am going to sell some bikes, which is nothing new. I do it all the time. And I am going to... They're already listed locally. Stuff's starting to get a little traction. And I am going to build up a new gravel bike tomorrow. Same bike, different, correct frame size. So we'll talk about that next time. That'll be a little teaser. Did some trainer time, did some house cleaning, did some more welding, shot some guns with Andrea.
You guys have a welder?
Yeah, dude.
Damn, which one do you have?
Just a little flux one.
Yeah, the cheapest little $97 Harbor Freight flux core. Jobber.
Oh, you got the old Chicago Electric?
No, it's the...
Is there one below Chicago Electric?
They don't do Chicago Electric anymore,
really. Georgia Electric?
No. If it was below Chicago, it'd be like Detroit Electric. This one comes with a switch. I can't remember the brand of it, but like I think the brand that they have for all their cheap welders now is Titanium.
Sure, yeah.
And it's just the little cheapo guy, high-low setting, and wire feed adjustment. That's all you get. No gas, no nothing fancy. But it turns out you can hot glue metal together with your adult hot glue gun.
I know. What'd you weld?
So when we went and shot guns, we kind of took a little bit of most things.
Oh, I think it is a Chicago Electric. The Flux 125.
Oh, shit. It is a Chicago Electric. I guess titanium is only when it gets nicer, so.
I was going to say, the titanium's a little baby step above the Chicago Electric. I thought you found something below the Chicago Electric for a second.
No, it's just the cheapest Chicago Electric you can get from Harbor Freight.
Yeah, but I am... We took a bunch of guns out. We took, four pistols and... three rifles. So both 22s.
Did you get a notice from Colorado?
Since we
we're
both...
not going to talk about Colorado gun laws right now. Okay.
Look,
saying like, hey, we haven't seen you guys in a while.
No, we both got suppressors. Out. We got suppressors within the last 6 months, so we're good for a while.
Excellent.
But a long time ago, we found a swinging 22 target. And it's really cool. It's probably
like 3x3, maybe.
It's not quite 3x3. I would guess it's like 2 or 2.5x2, but it's set up on a diamond shape, or, you know, rhombus diamond instead of square. It's a cool little dude, but it's great at eating like 22 and 380. And I found out the hard way that the AR-15 with 223 acts like a hole punch and puts holes in it.
It makes really nice little holes in that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I assume it's mild steel?
Most likely, yes.
Yeah, it's mild
steel.
So,
I bought a bunch of quarter inch, so like really thin, but AR-500, the really hard steel. And I got a bunch of knockdown 22 targets that I welded up. They're like, I don't know, probably they look like little Coke cans. Like they're supposed to look like Coke cans, but I welded a base on them. And anyway, they're super fun because you shoot them and they get, what's up?
Go ahead.
They're just knocked down, right? So they don't like automatically reset or swing. They actually just like, you hit them, they make like a really, because they're really thin, but they're AR-500. So you probably don't want to shoot it with a 223, but like you can shoot it with a 9 or a 22, like it doesn't touch it. But they make a really good sound and then they go flying. So it's just like really good feedback, if that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. So I busted out the welder and I was like, I need to weld the holes up in these because I have a welder now and I can do that. And actually I thought before I shot it, I'm like, I might knock a hole in this. And I was like, but I have a way to do the fucking command Z and delete the hole in this with new metal. And sure enough, I shot holes in it and I then was like, man, I have some like quarter 3/8 ish rod and I have an old lawnmower blade. I could make another swinging target, and lawnmower blade is not mild steel. So it's pretty cool. So I fixed the target that I broke. And
you're out there like cutting up lawnmower blades and making gun targets and shit. That is some country ass shit out there.
Dude, I know. It's sick though. Like, that's the cool part about being an adult. You can just be like, hey, I want to do this. And you do it.
Like, that's the most country ass shit I've heard in a long time.
Really? I used a lawnmower blade
to
be able to
I don't know,
target.
Something about it.
We have like a stack of lawnmower blades. I don't know where Matt got them, but we've got a bunch of them.
I've been picking them up at like yard sales.
I don't
and
understand.
Stuff.
You don't have a lawn. Why do you have so many blades?
Because I've been grabbing them at yard sales and whatnot.
So you can like practice welding and shit.
Yeah, and it's also super hard steel. So it's pretty genius in my opinion.
I've just got so much information going through my head right now. Like, just you're hoarding lawnmower blades. You don't have a lawn and you're welding up gun targets. Man, just it's wild.
I know. Yeah, I didn't weld in Crocs this time. So
congratulations.
Anyway, I'm very proud of you. You've done some good work over there, it sounds like.
Dude, it's really cool. I think the other thing or the other reason that I like the lawnmower blades is God, this is gonna get really just buckle up. It's like I go to a yard sale and some old person never threw away their lawnmower blades and they've got a like, you know, 5 or 6 of them in a 5 gallon bucket, and I'm like, give you $10 for those. They're like, okay. Because they never threw them away because they were going to do something with them. And now I bought them to do something with. But it's really good steel. It's pretty hard. And the shape is, I mean, they're not hard to store. You know, you could put 30 of them in a 5 gallon bucket and they're already rusted. They could sit out in the weather here. It's not like we get rain and shit that would like fill up a bucket and rust them into oblivion. So
I got so many things going through my head right now. I just envision Matt going somewhere. He's looking at like a particular size bucket. He's like, hey, man, how many lawnmower blades would fit in that?
The problem is I already know. You can't just look at a bucket and know how many lawnmower blades fit in there, Kenny. I'm really surprised. Anyways, you know, this is where it's going to get kind of wishy-washy, frou-frou, but like yes, I can go to the store and buy targets. I could go buy a swinging target. I could probably buy one on the internet or buy one locally. And it wouldn't be that expensive. But I do get this odd, I don't want to say like, it's just joy or a sense of accomplishment that I took some trash and I used some time with the grinder and the welder and maybe a little bit of new material. And now I've made something that is useful. And yes, I could purchase those things, much like anyone that has ever baked a cookie. You could buy cookies. You could buy a cake. You know, like you can pretty much make most things if you really, really want to. You know, there's going to be...
You can make cookies?
Yeah, dude.
Wow.
Yeah, you're going to learn a lot this episode.
But no, I get what you're saying. It is admirable to...
Well, and it's
to
like,
repurpose stuff.
And it's just this other part of this is, you know, our job is bike mechanics. As long as we're working on nice stuff, which most of the time we are, I mean, even if we say it's junky stuff, it's because it's like a 2014 Bronson that's just been roasted and they want to put new brakes and rotors on it. You're not really making something, though. You're just assembling things. And to make something, to look at this and go, okay, if I cut it here and here, I'll have this piece that I can use, and then I can use this piece here and weld it on the back, and then I can plug weld up the spot where the little, you know, the spindle of the motor went, the drive spindle for the blade went, and now this is a good surface, good solid surface to shoot at. And then, okay, if I attach these here, and I don't want this one, I don't want this one to do laps, so I'm going to add some extra weight to the bottom on the backside. And when you get done, you're like, eh, that's kind of cool. I did that. And if it doesn't work, well, then I just can cut that metal up and use it to do something else with. So, and I got the fucking wrap it up fingers on that one. Jesus Christ.
I wasn't saying wrap it up. I was saying, like, move your story on. You're getting into a lot of detail that might not be fully necessary.
If anyone listened to this to actually learn something, they wouldn't fucking listen. Except Dominic. He learned something. But he sent a fucking question, and that's how he knew. That's how he learned something. Anyways, Kenny's turn. One more quickie. I met one of Kenny's former employees today, so that was cool. That's all I got. Now it's Kenny's turn.
I guess on that note, if you are interested in the bike shop world, and you might like living in Utah, and go check out Hangar 15 Bicycles. We are always looking for people.
Is Utah one of those states where you have to list a salary with a position?
No.
Do y'all?
In Utah, you can do whatever the fuck you want. I can, like, fire somebody because I don't like the way they look.
I mean, you can do that in Colorado.
Yeah. I wouldn't do that. I mean, unless you look, you know, really messed up. But, yeah.
All right.
So, what I've been doing. I rode some moto. I went down south.
Real quick. Are you the one that does the, like, application fielding?
Probably not, so you probably shouldn't send an email from JimmyFuckDick69@gmail.com.
But ultimately, yes, I would be the one that would be hiring you.
But do you get that email straight from the website?
I do,
or does someone else see it and they're like, this is for Kenny?
Ultimately, it lands on my desk, yes. I guess, what's the question?
Nothing.
Matt's filling out the web contact form right now.
Oh, okay. So yes, I will get that. Or I will hear about it.
Have you ever been convicted of a felony?
I foresee everybody pranking our website and submitting fake applications, so I appreciate that. As far as what I've been doing, I did ride moto last weekend. It's still been pretty nice here. I think it's not going to get shitty until maybe next week. But I was, as usual, just on the old Google Maps looking at random roads and mountains and places that I have been near but maybe haven't been to. And I rode in a place, where can I describe it? It's called, I think, the Swinging Bridge. So Swinging Bridge and Mexican Hat Road. And it's just a road that goes to Mexican Hat Mountain, and it goes next to the San Rafael River. And it's just super scenic. There's really cool stuff out there. So I check that out. It wasn't super technical or anything, but just a fun explore. I think I did maybe 60 miles. I did find an old uranium mine, which is pretty cool. It's got an old, like, abandoned caterpillar dozer or something up there on a mountain. All the portals are covered up, so you can't, like, go in the mine, but there was all kinds of other stuff kicking around, like old steel and hoppers and mine carts and that kind of stuff.
Do you take any of it home so that you could weld with it later?
No, not this time. I did pick up some nice angle iron from the old missile launch site in Green Valley. Not Green Valley, sorry, Green River. But nope, I didn't pick anything up this time. There are apparently a bunch of, if you see super bright blue tinted rocks, you probably shouldn't pick them up near a uranium mine.
You should eat them.
Because they were probably, it's probably uranium ore that's been sitting in some cyanide to leach out uranium, and it turns blue, I guess.
I'm surprised that you don't have one of those little handheld Geiger counters that you can...
Yeah, I probably should. I've thought about getting one, but I guess I don't really care. Like, what you're generally going to get, I mean, anywhere outside of being in, like, Chernobyl or something, or Fukushima, I think any type of even super gnarly heightened radiation you would get in a uranium mine or something, if you were in there for like an hour, like, it's gonna be like a dental x-ray or something. So I guess I just don't really care.
Dude, they're $340,
and that's not even on Amazon. I bet you can get one even cheaper there.
I mean, it'd be cool, I guess, to hear the little, like, beeps and stuff and, like, try to find heightened radiation, but as far as it actually keeping you safe, I just don't know that it would really matter in the stuff that I would do. Again, a couple hours exposure in like some mine or something, you're probably going to be fine.
Like twice a year. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, it's just cool to see all that stuff. And it was super scenic, super awesome, giant rocks and crevasses and just neato swell area Utah stuff. Yeah, moto's still running really good. Haven't had to do much to it. I probably should check the valves on it. It's got 150 hours and 3,600 miles on it.
What bike are you riding?
What's up?
What's your bike again?
It is a Husqvarna FE350S.
Oh, it is a 350. Okay. Oh, yeah, Jeff got a TE.
Yeah, he had a TE150. I think, if I remember right, because the 500s are really popular, the KTM and the Huskies. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's not just like a bigger 350. I think it's a single overhead cam motor. It's like a different architecture, and the 350 is a dual or something like that. I'm not positive. Anyway, moral of the story is, for being a supposedly finicky Austrian bike that's motocross derived, it's so far been really good. I just ride it. It just cranks right up. I've literally not touched the Recluse clutch on that bike. I put it on pretty much stock. So it's got full mileage on it. Or I say stock. I put it on brand new. The bike had 50 miles on it or something. But anyway, I do check the, whatever they call it, the free play gain or something. But it just doesn't make any sense that I haven't had to touch it. It's crazy. 150 hours. Cool. I'm super impressed. So it's whatever, I don't remember the model, but it's whatever the bougiest Recluse is. And it's freaking dope. I recommend it for pretty much everybody. Unless you're pro level, it's fucking awesome. It just makes the bike so much more enjoyable. But anyway, that's all I've been doing.
All right. Well, I rode my e-bike a few days ago. It was fun. I just went and explored a little area that I'd ridden my bike in. It's not too far from where we live. I'd ridden my bike there, I don't know, it's been a few years, and I just kind of wanted to go and like check it out again just for shits and giggles. And so I rode the e-bike up there, and it was pretty good. I want to get a new saddle. I've always ridden the Specialized Power Saddle, like ever since, I don't know, it's been at least 10 years, but I've got the e-bike like set up a little bit more.
Do you have the Mimic version of it or the Standard?
The Standard. I tried the Mimic one and I didn't really like it. I like a cutout saddle. So yeah, I just had the regular one, but since it's the bike set up a little bit more upright than what I've always ridden, it just kind of like, it wasn't comfortable. It didn't feel like it was quite wide enough. And
what width do you run?
The 155.
Okay.
So I think I want to go up to like the wider one.
They make a wider one than 155?
Yeah, 168.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
God, what kind of fucking buyer are you?
A shitty one.
Good. Great.
Yeah, so
admitting you have a problem is the first step to recovery, Kenny.
Yeah, so I think I want to try something a little bit wider, because I just kind of felt like my ass was like, not my ass, like my seat bones were kind of like wrapping around the saddle instead of sitting on top of it. So that was a little uncomfortable, but I don't know. I've never really done much riding in that position, so yeah, I just have to figure out how to deal with it, because it's comfortable. And a lot of times, like, I don't know, on the e-bike.
But you've ridden that e-bike a bunch, right?
I have, but it's been a long...
Is it new to you to have a power saddle on that or something?
No, I just, for whatever reason, it hadn't really bothered me before. Or I think what it might have been, like, the last time I rode the e-bike for any, like, I don't know, longer duration of time, like more than, I don't know, half an hour, it was last year, and it was before I had my hand surgery, and like that was bothering me some. So like, it's one of those things where like something else was bugging me and I wasn't really thinking about my ass. And like, I just, like when one thing starts to hurt, then everything else kind of bothers you. So like, I just, you know, if my saddle was bothering me, I wasn't really paying attention to it. I was paying more attention to like, I don't know, just keeping my right hand off of the handlebar as much as I could. So, yeah, it was a little bit yeah, like that was just, it was a little uncomfortable. So I'll probably go with the wider saddle on there. But other than that, I'm still really happy with the bike. Like it does great. Other stuff I've been doing, I'm kind of having like good days and bad days as far as like hormone replacement. And this is where it gets into like Matt feeling really dumb, feeling like a potato. He said, I feel like a potato rotating in the microwave when you talk about this stuff. So I'll try to make this as quick as possible because it's, I don't know, not relevant to a lot of our listeners, but I don't know. A lot of the stuff we talk about isn't.
Hold on. Let's just set the stage here. What's your master's degree in?
Health and sports science.
And my bachelor's degree, I can't even pronounce the word bachelor's, is in English. Okay. So I have a bachelor's in English.
You've never had to read a peer-reviewed journal article and be, like, heavily graded on its contents.
And Andrea has more schooling, medicine, or let's say body stuff adjacent, right? So
yeah.
Let's set the stage.
I have a better knowledge of the human body and how it functions than someone with a bachelor's degree in English.
And you've read more 19-syllable words than I have.
I have.
So now let's go. So actually, let me set the stage some more. So
plus, you also don't have any like female genitalia that I'm aware of.
I mean, that doesn't really matter when you're reading peer-reviewed journal articles, except when you're trying to...
I guess I was more talking about the specific hormone stuff that you might be going through.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm setting the stage for this, Kenny, which is I come in from work and Andrea's like, hey, guess what I learned today? And she looks like Charlie from fucking Always Sunny with the conspiracy board in the background. And like somehow she has a cigarette in her mouth. And, like, the dog is smoking, too. And then she just starts info dumping these 17-syllable words at me. And I'm just like...
I'm going to go weld some lawnmower blades. I don't know what's going on over here.
And I'm like, I'm not smart enough to not cut myself installing studded mountain bike tires. So, cool.
No, so, basically, I mean, overall, women's health research has a much, it's much newer. So if you were ever wondering, the very first research study, published research study that focused on women with ADHD and their symptoms was in 2017. So fewer than 10 years ago, women got their first research study about ADHD and how it affects them differently than it does men. So the amount of available stuff that is female focused is it's a much smaller pool. And the same kind of goes for the amount of stuff that is focused on like neurodivergent people in general. And then you throw in like menopause and hormone replacement like that. There's even less of that. Like there's no crossover in that Venn diagram. Like you can't, like it just doesn't really exist. So I basically had to like, yesterday morning I took about 3 hours and learned like some pretty specialized and in-depth endocrinology that has to do with like fetal development and hormone changes. And if a fetus is exposed to the wrong amount of hormones, like how that can make the baby some form of neurodivergent, and it doesn't happen to male babies the same way it happens to females, and blah, blah, blah. It's a lot of 17-syllable words. And I just had to like sit there and learn about it so that I could then know enough to start trying to like focus deeper on like why are the hormones that I am taking for hormone replacement, why are those affecting me differently than they would a woman who is not neurodivergent. And there's really no research on that. I mean, there's millions of endocrinology articles about everything. There's some stuff about, you know, hormone replacement, but there's no like crossover between, okay, how do hormones make someone neurodivergent when they're a fetus? And then how does that affect how your sex hormones like estrogen, progesterone affect how you experience life as a neurodivergent person? And then how does all of that affect you when you get to be in your 40s and everything hormone related just absolutely shits the fucking bed? And there's just nothing out there about it. And it's frustrating I've learned a lot of really interesting stuff, but yeah, that's really what my week has been, is trying to figure out why I don't feel good a lot of times, and sometimes I'd feel okay, and what I can do, like, how can I talk to my doctor about it? Because my doctor doesn't have research to study, because it's just not there. So, yeah. And if anyone, this is actually, if anyone out there has access to, you know, like when you're in college, your library has a pretty big amount of, a pretty large amount of like journal, like peer-reviewed journals that you can draw articles from for research. And a lot of them, I can't read the full text of them. So if just a quick rundown, peer-reviewed research is just basically research that follows the scientific method. You do an experiment, you write about it, you send that to a group of experts at this journal where you want it published, and they review it, and they're like, oh, this research study sucks, we're not going to publish it. Or they're like, hey, this is some solid information, we'll publish it so that everyone else can read it in your field. So that's, and if you don't have like some kind of a subscription to that journal, you might not be able to read. You can read a summary of the research, but you can't read the entire thing. So if anyone out there has access to just a big database of medical and health related journals, if I could occasionally like send you a link to an abstract and you could send me an article, yeah, maybe I'll like could send you some water bottles or stickers or just give you a shout out on the show or whatever. But I need a little bit of help in that respect because I can't access some of the stuff that I want to read and learn about.
So, I mean, I'm kind of ignorant when it comes to this stuff. When it comes to menopause, is there just like a standard cocktail that like has been agreed upon, if you will? Like, hey, here's your, oh, you're, sounds like you're experiencing some menopausal stuff. Here's your cocktail. Like, is that a thing? Like, I don't know.
To a degree. So like the standard thing is estrogen and progesterone.
Okay.
And in varying amounts, like different women are going to need different amounts of each of those things so that they feel quote unquote normal and they stop having those menopause symptoms. And it's not just how you feel, like there are health effects too. Like you lose bone density, you lose muscle mass, you're.
And so like, does just straight up estrogen, for example, does that actually promote bone growth?
Yeah. Well, it helps you keep your bone density. It doesn't necessarily make your bones more dense, but. Yeah, so that helps. If you take estrogen, just for health reasons, you also have to take progesterone, because if you take just straight estrogen, then it can end up in like cancerous type changes in your uterus. So unless you've had a hysterectomy, yeah, you got to have like the progesterone along with it. And I am, as I've found out through these articles, probably progesterone intolerant, which means I have an adverse reaction that's kind of, it's a paradoxical reaction to taking progesterone. It makes me anxious. I can't sleep if I have too much of it. And then along with that, like, I can't sleep, but I'm really drowsy and exhausted feeling at the same time.
Is there such a thing as, like, if you have a progesterone problem, would you then get a, like, would a hysterectomy be a thing where you could just take estrogen, or is that not?
So that's what I've actually seen stories about a few women who are in my situation. They have, you know, they're neurodivergent. They're either autistic or ADHD or both. And they're like, I had to have a hysterectomy so that I could so I didn't have to take progesterone. And I'm really trying to avoid that. Yeah. But that's why I'm doing this research, because like, at first, I was like pissed off. I was like, why doesn't my doctor know this? And then I figured out my doctor doesn't know this because there's just nothing out there that puts all of these puzzle pieces together. So, yeah, it's really frustrating. And I wish I didn't have to, you know, read for hours a day and try to just learn endocrinology, because it's really fucking complicated. It's like the fucking advanced math. Quantum physics of the medical field.
Yeah, I like math a lot for the most part, but I like really simple stuff that is building block based, you know, like trigonometry, all that stuff. Totally get along with that. even some basic calculus, no problem. Totally, totally wrap it. But you start getting into like imaginary numbers and alternating current shit, and it's not a good time
anymore. That's pretty much endocrinology is like imaginary numbers. It's every word is a 12-syllable word, and every hormone can affect other hormones in different ways. And yeah, it's tedious.
Yeah, I never liked logs and natural logs either.
Yeah, me
not,
either.
Not a good time.
Yeah, I don't like logs.
It's big, it's heavy, it's wood.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep, you got it.
So that's what I'm up against right now. Wish me luck. And yeah, if anyone out there is an endocrinologist or you have access to medically related journals that maybe I could occasionally like get a PDF file from you of a full article when I can't get it online, because it would normally like, so if you don't have like paid access to those journals, getting one article just to look at it and then maybe be like, ah, this isn't actually what I needed. This isn't relevant to what I'm studying. It's $40 to download one article from most places. So I can't just randomly shell out $40 every time I want to look at one article.
Okay. New shit?
Yeah, let's get into some new shit. There's some new 32-inch shit out there.
Let's start there. You have those. I didn't pull those wheels up, so you talk about those.
The new Anax 32XC. It's a carbon mountain bike wheel set from Light Bicycle. And it's rims that are 300. They don't give like total wheel weight, so they just give rim weight. It is 380 grams for a wheel.
I mean, there's a picture. It's 15.
Oh,
that's like really light, isn't it?
1656 for the wheel set on DT240s is what they're showing.
Yeah, that's pretty light.
Yeah. And these have a 5-year warranty, and it says the wheel set starts at $1,400.
I wonder what the average 32-inch spoke length is, because if you're in the kind of like low 290s, that's kind of standard for a 29er. Are we in like the low 300s? I don't actually know.
I think so. This is my current holdup. Andrea talked me out of buying a 32-inch front wheel the other day. I was going to buy... What?
Why?
For good reason.
Not why are you getting it. Why did she talk you out of it? You should totally do that.
I wanted to run 32-29 mullet on my Jaffe rigid.
I know you should.
I know, Kenny, but let's go through what I know. All these rims are fairly deep, and I haven't touched one yet. But I do think at some point I was pretty altered and doing some Googling and some spoke length calculator. And I think I was coming up with like 310 for spoke lengths or something. So I think, and we know this, that shallow rims ride better. And the rims are deep because I think you can use 315 planks.
Okay, interesting.
I should have dug into this.
Hopefully DT can catch up. Because, I mean, as much as we plug DT on this show, hopefully they can make just some nice competitions in, like, the low to mid-teen 300s, I guess.
Well, I think the real thing is we just need 330s. I think that's going to solve it, but...
I don't like cutting spokes. It's pretty dumb. Just
okay.
Give me that old box of competitions. They're great.
Well, and that was kind of my point to Matt when he says I talked him out of it. It's like, let the stuff come out and be kind of like, I mean, even just a micro amount, a little bit more standardized before, like, wait until you have a few more choices in,
for sure,
in rims and spokes.
There's basically almost no benefit. There's no benefit in pretty much anything in being an early adopter. I wish that weren't the case. Like, it's kind of cool. But yeah, I mean, I did that a lot with the Emoto stuff. I wasn't like full bleeding edge, but damn near close to it. And yeah, you just overpaid for shit. Stuff was kind of half baked. And yeah, if you can just be a little patient, you'll get
by. And I'm not telling him to wait like
stuff.
A year, but I'm guessing by like the middle of the summer.
Sea otter.
Yeah, like by the middle of the summer, there will be like twice as many choices in rims and spokes and tires and all of that shit. So if you just put that off like another couple of months, you're just going to have more to choose from. It's probably going to be more affordable stuff, more just broadly available and supported stuff. So just give it a little bit more time before you take the dive on it. And you're just going to end up
happier. That's the logical thing for sure. But Matt, I want you to build a 32, like right now.
Why don't you build a 32?
No, I don't ride bikes.
I keep, Matt right now has his Canyon cross country bike like propped up against a tree in the yard, like near the shed, but not in the shed. And I keep looking at it.
Yeah. What?
I keep looking at it and I'm just like, I really want a cross country bike.
I mean, they're cool. We've said it a million times, but for the most part, like your kind of average cross country adjacent bike, 120, 120 for most people in most terrain, it's the right bike.
Yeah.
It just is.
I'm guessing sometime this summer I'll end up with a new, you know, a normal full suspension bike instead of an e-bike.
But for real, one of the reasons I haven't done a 32 or thought about doing a 32 is because I ride a 170, 180 bike.
Yeah.
So it's not really the best match. But I am very happy that my bike is 29-29. I like the idea of a mullet, but I just don't think they're maybe that good.
Oh, what was the this Matt was just Googling 29-inch carbon rims, and I remember back like when I first started mountain biking in 2009, there was like 29er.com or something.
Lace Mine 29. Mike Kuriak.
Yeah, I think there was that, and then there might have been like one or two other really like specialty 29er websites that had like tech articles and just parts and shit like that. Like we need that for 32 now, like a site that just compiles everything available just so you can like go to that site. You could even maybe like, I don't know, this is my business idea. If someone steals it, I'm going to be mad. Like do like an affiliate type of thing where you link to every 32-inch wheel product. And when people click on that link, then, you know, you get like 50 cents or something.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's 2026, so it's all going to be like TikTok, and you're going to see something cool. You'll be like, oh, that was really cool. And then you want to show a friend later, and you're like, oh, fuck, I can't find it.
Exactly. Well, that's why you need the website.
Well, no, but I mean, websites won't be legal anymore. It has to be on TikTok.
You can only look at TikTok and only get AI suggestions for 32-inch parts.
Yep.
All right, well, next thing, we'll just stick with 32-inch stuff. Where was it? Vittoria now has a 30-inch tire. They have the Peyote XC 32-inch race tire. And they are 2.4 and kind of fast-tracky looking.
Does anybody know what the ISO number of a 32 is?
Let me change pages. It is 680. I have it pulled up, Kenny. Don't go too far. 686.
Ooh, like
the bead seat diameter.
Yeah, that's a big boy.
Yep.
So we got, I'm trying to do it off the top of my head, 622 is 29er, and then 584 is 27.5, and 559, 26. Is that
something
right?
Something like that.
And if you want to know the, a little bit of kind of understated gossip that's on this Bike Rumor article. So it's about the, about their new cross-country tire. But in this photo on here, there's a gravel bike, and they don't show the size of it, but it says, sounds like we can expect some 32-inch Vittoria gravel tires next year, too. And it's the Torino. So, yeah. 32-inch gravel bikes coming to a gravel race near you. All right. Was there any other 32-inch news on here?
I don't think so.
There's a new Industry 9. They've updated their S-Series aluminum rims to feature their hollow bead wall technology. But that is 29-inch. That is not 32.
What about the fast DC3 damper for your RockShox Zeb?
I saw that. It sounds interesting as long as you know how to turn all the knobs and fiddle with everything.
All right, so pause before we get into fast. This whole time, I've been like hammering away on trying to figure this up. So I don't know how that stayed in my brain, but I did keep it straight in my brain. So if
you're a smart potato. You called yourself a potato first.
Well, while they were talking about tires, the reason I knew 686 for the ISO or bead seat diameter number is because I pulled up the Nexty rim because the Nexi rim is sold as rim only, and they do a good job of listing all their rim dimensions. And then I had to go into QBP to get to a spoke calculator that would let me enter rim dimensions, because the Pro Wheel Builder one wouldn't let me enter rim dimensions. So to go to QBP, I had to change my Google account so I could log into work stuff and use QBP. And bing, 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 Jesus Christ, the guy that's built three wheels in his life remembered this somehow. I used a 350 boost front hub. 350? 240. Sorry. It was the first boost 32-hole DT hub I could find. But if you wanted to run a 32-hole 15 by 110, wait, did I say 30? Yeah, 15 by 110, 6-bolt, 32-hole. Radial laced, which you would never do.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Your spoke links would be 296 and 300. One cross would be 297, 302. Two cross is 304, 308. Three cross is 313, 316. So I really think we're getting these super deep rims, because now I'm not going to close that. I'm just going to minimize it. Let me get back here. So the rim is 30 millimeters high. You know, it's a 30 millimeter tall rim. I wish they would give me a cutaway photo that showed the dimensions. Let's see.
30 is not like crazy deep, but it's definitely not shallow, right?
It's not a shallow rim. You know, that's what I would really be looking for. You know, something in that like 25, 22 millimeter depth.
Sure,
like
sure.
Especially to run rigid as a front wheel. And we're going to be in the 30 millimeter depth, and we would have to build it. Either two cross or my drive side spokes would be, or my one of my spokes would be a millimeter short. So,
what kind of kook ass shit are you building? Are you doing a full suspension rigid front 32er?
No, I'm just saying, like, you can't get a thinner or a shallower rim because there's not enough fucking spoke.
Sure. So, yeah, DT, you need to make some, like, you know, up to 320s at least in competitions and sell me boxes.
But no, Kenny, follow me. Like, 320s aren't going to get it. Because the spoke doesn't run straight from the hub. Like, only in radial would an extra 5 millimeters of spoke
get. Well, the 3-cross, the longest side was 316.
Right, but the spoke does not go directly towards the rim.
The spoke is a radius, not a diameter. So if you wanted to go even 10 millimeters shallower, that'd only be 5 on the radius, so you can get away with a 321.
That's not how it works, Kenny.
I'm pretty sure it is.
No, because the spoke is going further than just the radius.
I'm saying you had one, you kind of had a pre-built one that was 316 on the longest side, right?
Yeah.
And you want to go 10 millimeters shallower on your rim.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that would be, yeah, you are going 10 mil on the, that would actually be on the radius. You're right.
Yeah, like if it was a radial-laced wheel, like a radius, then yeah, if I needed 5 millimeters, if I wanted to lose 10, I could gain 5 on the spoke because I do it on both sides.
I was just thinking that the rim gets shallower. I'm thinking that your ERD is decreasing by 10, but it's not like the rim itself is getting 10 millimeters shallower, which would be 20 millimeters total.
Mm-hmm. And then I would, you know, that spoke is going, you know, if we lay the wheel down and think of it, a radial spoke is going straight.
Yeah, I think that extra you're going to get from a cross situation is so minute. It's probably like a mil or something.
But I think
it's a big deal.
I think we need 330s.
Maybe. I don't know. Regardless. Regardless. DT Swiss. Hopefully they step up and make some good 32 compatible spokes and you just buy them in boxes. It's going to be great. I wonder if it's something. I wouldn't be surprised. These are some old ass machines, I guarantee.
I know where you're going.
I wonder if something about the machine is just physically not able to make anything longer than a 315. I could totally see that being a real thing.
Well, you're on the right track because, like, yes, a different way to think of it is, what did they build a spoke building machine out of? You know, like, does that make sense?
Like, do they need a whole, like, a bunch of new tooling and, like, machine modifications?
No, I'm thinking they were like, oh, this doohickey we can use to make bike spokes. because bike spokes didn't need to be as long as they did need to be. I mean, one of the biggest costs of those was building the machine to weave the casing, right? I think Max's claims they spent $100,000 to weave the first casing. So
I wonder if that means Victoria cheap, tires are made in the same factory as Max's tires.
I don't know.
I don't think that's true.
I don't think that a Victoria is a CST.
Maxis is CST. And Victoria makes a whole bunch of other people's tires. Like, Victoria is like the giant of the tire world a little bit. But like CST, Changshan Tire, which is CST, and Maxis, and maybe one or two others are like one ecosystem. And then Victoria, and I'm making up stuff, so don't get angry. This could be wrong. But like maybe Victoria and Kenda and like a bunch of other stuff and a bunch of OE stuff, you know, could be a WTB. I don't really know. That could be wrong. So that's like, that could be fake news. But I know that Victoria makes a bunch of OE tires, and maybe there's like one or two other parent companies, but there's not a whole lot of actual unique bicycle tire manufacturers. Cause the overhead of that is bananas.
All right. Moving on. Acto 5 Signature X SL cranks are now available. I don't know if they were available before, but they've made their cranks lighter and they're modular. So you have three different options of basically dub spindles, a short, long, and extra long. So like a gravel, a mountain bike, and then a mountain bike wide spindle. And then crank arms in 165, 170, and 175, and they will occasionally do limited runs of 145 millimeter cranks. The kind of weird thing on this is they're using the old SRAM 3-bolt pattern. I don't know if that's really weird or not, but like,
I don't think it's weird because in the current market, there's not a lot of
8-bolt stuff available.
Not kook stuff. Fun stuff. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because these cranks are fun.
Yeah, they're like a polished aluminum. They're nice looking. They look cool.
What are these things called again?
Acto 5. ACTO-5E. That they are 520 grams. I'm trying to figure out...
Website's broken.
I'm trying to figure out what size crank that's on. But yeah, I mean, they look cool. They look pretty nice. You can do some customized color stuff. They have an aluminum adjuster ring instead of that kind of like, I don't want to call the one that's on dub cranks shitty because it's not. It's only shitty if you like just ham fist it and abuse it.
It's been refined a little bit. The old BB30 one, there was like a first gen of it and it would like spin. It was just purely based on friction and like the thing would lock up and bind and it would do all kinds of weird shit. And it was also reverse of what you thought it would be.
Yeah.
Well, the new one's friction also.
It is, yeah.
It's just
but
better
like
friction.
The BB30 one would actually have problems where you thought it would be tensioning, but it never actually was.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this definitely eliminates the problem of people who don't understand that you can't just like put 500 newton meters on a piece of plastic and hope for the best. But yeah, it looks nice. I like their kind of purplish color. It's like kind of a, I don't know, like a not maroon, but like an understated violet. Purple. Looks good. Won't match any other purple anodization anywhere, for sure. But it's looks like a cool thing. And they are, let's see, I'm looking for a price. I think I saw...
There are 400 euros or so.
Yeah, I think that's what I was thinking, somewhere in the 400 euro area. The 520 grams is for the Signature X SL with a long spindle. So kind of like your medium size, whatever, like kind of a standard mountain bike spindle. Not the longest one, but yeah, it's neat.
And I guess I didn't realize they're one of the companies that make like those full CNC'd, I guess, glued together aluminum frames.
I didn't know that either. I was just looking at this article that only talks about the cranks.
I'm looking at their website.
That black one actually looks really nice. I like the black better than the silver.
So you can't glue your cranks together, but you can glue your frame together?
You know, I don't know if it's a great idea, but they're doing it. And I could be wrong. Maybe there's some manufacturing method that I'm not aware of, but I'm pretty sure when you CNC an aluminum frame, you do it in two pieces and glue them together.
Glue them together with metal? Like TIG weld them together? Or glue?
Oh, I guess you could weld them, but I thought they actually just glued them.
I thought I remembered seeing a, yeah, like Matt's got it on his computer
bonded
right now.
Bonded together with a special adhesive.
Fuck.
So that, I thought that rib down the middle of the top tube was like a TIG weld line.
Nah, that shit's glue.
Shit.
Nah, dude, what you do is when you get one of these, you just put some tacks along it just to keep it good.
You know, if you ever see like the glue start to crack like it's been flexing, you know, you just go ahead and tack a little metal.
Yeah, it's probably in the manual. Inspect your frame once every hour, and if any cracks develop, simply weld it.
With your flux welder. You can use your Chicago Electric.
Carry a spool gun at all times.
Oh, wow.
You can get one of those stud welders.
No, just get one of those Carnage welders that fits in like a Pelican case.
Yeah, there you go.
Carry a trailer with you.
All right. Do we want to save any of the new stuff for next week in case?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Wheels Talking Manufacturing then. Has some new chain rings for Shimano Direct Mount. So that's pretty cool. There's some fun colors for you.
Do you think those, like, the solid parts in there are just to bother mechanics who have to, like, clean that out, or do you think they're functional?
I mean, I think it looks really cool. I think it is a distinctive look for their product.
It is. You're right.
I mean, and that's one of the things that has always kind of bummed me out. Like, I really want one of those, I think 5Dev calls it, like, the space ring, because it's just solid. Nope, not the space ring. What's it called? Spacely sprocket. It's just solid. It's got some texture machined into
it's
it.
Ribbed for your pleasure.
Yeah, it just looks cool, though. Like, it just looks cool. Because if you're going to get something purple for your bike, you know how to get more purple? Have more metal.
Dude, you could put that. That's a SRAM 3-bolt pattern. You could put that on that Acto 5 crank.
Yeah, so any weight savings you got from the crank, you would lose with the, yeah.
And yeah. Just, Matt, I'm guessing you might remember this. Like, what is the weight of, like, a SRAM, like a GX crank?
I looked up a XO aluminum, and it's 685. So, I mean, it's a good bit lighter.
Yeah, that's cool.
But then, you know, 5Dev said we made really light cranks, and then they released a weighted spindle so you could have lower center gravity weight without gluing weights to your bike. I don't know. I mean,
just,
I think,
like, put some sand in your frame or something.
Dude, that little SWAT baggie.
Yeah.
You could just jam it full of sand and slam it in your bottom bracket. And you could do that at the top of the descent. You could stop, load the baggie up with rocks, jam it in your frame, descend, and then dump it out
before
the next climb.
Oh my gosh, you're like weight doping. You could do that.
There you go.
That's going to be like a new enduro hack for enduro competitions.
And if you really wanted to save time, you buy a bunch of those little SWAT storage bags and you go out and you hide them.
Oh man.
Full. Then,
oh, you hide them full of like fucking lead fishing weights or something.
Yeah, but then when you get to the bottom, you would stash them in a known spot, and you're in the trials world, your minder would be responsible for picking those up later. That's what you do. You get a minder to ride with you and carry your lead weight up the hill. And then you ride with the weight down the hill. That's what we do. Sick. How much lead weight do you think would fit in one of those bags?
We can find out. It's cheap. It's one of the cheaper metal things to purchase.
We would have to use tire weights. Couldn't use shot. Because my bag has a hole in it. Because they all get holes in them.
Like big lead. We could just patch the hole. Like, you could just get lead fishing weights. They're pretty cheap.
All right. We won't report back on this. So Wheels has chain rings. Let's see. I just want to shit on this real quick. So it's a Pink Bike article, and the title is, I've never used my brakes so much on the climbs. Riding the Megamo Reason e-mountain bike. So it has an Avanox N1 drive unit with 850 watts or 120 newton meters, 1,000 watts in 30-second burst. Yeah, it's an illegal e-bike. That's why you have to use your fucking brakes on the uphills. That's just a callback to 850 is not 750. So, you have any thoughts there, Kenny?
I have asked for clarification from a certain large manufacturer, and I have not heard back.
Kenny, I don't know if you do this, because you've ridden an e-bike more than Matt and me put together. I've found that because of kind of the on-offness of the motor and how, like, if it switches on, if you, like, kind of coast for a second, how you can sometimes, like, I don't know, it's probably because I'm just not that smooth with it, but what I'll do sometimes, like if I'm making a slow speed uphill turn, actually any slow speed turn, I'll like actually pedal just enough that the motor starts to engage, but I'm holding like the rear brake, like I drag the rear brake so that I don't actually speed up. But that just means as I come out of the corner, I don't get that like jump as the motor,
yeah,
you know, like I'm going 3 or 4 miles an hour, wasn't pedaling hard enough to have the motor on. When I start pedaling out of that corner, it can like do weird things with the back, you know, if it's like a slippery, rocky, like loose over hard stuff, like it can make the rear tire slip or jump a little bit. And so I'll actually just like, I don't know, I feel like I'm using the rear brake kind of like a clutch in moto, like just to...
No, what you're doing, I can explain what you're doing, is you have turned the motor on via pedaling.
Yeah.
But in to ensure that you do not change speeds more than you want to, you're right, modulating speed with the rear brake.
Yep.
And then as you exit the corner, you're releasing the rear brake and then adding more power via pedal, which is multiplied by the e-bike system.
Yeah.
Which is
100%. Well, that's why there's overrun in e-bike systems. It seems weird and goofy, and sometimes people complain when the overrun is too much. But if you had zero overrun, it would just be so herky-jerky.
Yeah, mine does not have much overrun.
Well, but also what she's describing is the best way to turn your trials bike.
So you're using like throttle and rear brake when you turn?
Like the rear wheel is constantly loaded.
Yep, you already have the rear wheel loaded. You have your toe on the brake in a way to keep it in check. And then, you know, I have a clutch in my hand as well as a throttle. But yeah, you're doing a lot with that toe. You're just like on it. You're just like kind of there. And all you're doing is just adding a little bit more resistance to that rear wheel so it stays in check. It's a very good way to make a very smooth turn under power.
Yeah, that's been kind of, because when I first got it, that was like one of the many ways that I would just like slide my rear wheel or lose rear traction and have to like put a foot down and get to a spot where I could like get back on the bike. And that's really annoying. But yeah, I kind of worked that part out. Do we want to talk about the limited run of Esker long wheelbase fat bikes? No.
At this point, I'm not free to comment. Also, the Bike Rumor article is just factually wrong on one technical point that is driving me crazy.
What is it?
Max's Recon 2.5 tire. That tire does not exist.
Yeah, they do 2.4 and 2.6.
I know.
Even I do that, and I don't work in a bike shop right now. So yeah, the HeyDuke LVS, that like super long hardtail, they're now doing it in a fat bike size. Looks like a SRAM crank on there.
It is. They still make fat bike cranks.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize they made a fat bike crank.
But that one that's another thing that's weird. I'm pretty sure that's an old GX fat bike crank.
Because, yeah, that's what
it looks GXP
like.
Because the bolt isn't on the drive side.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I know, I'm right. I'm fucking... Look, I might not be able to read peer-reviewed articles, but I can glance at a crank and know what the fuck it is. I don't know. I wish that it didn't happen.
Tire clearance for 5 inches and 26 and 4.5 inches and 27.5.
So back to 32 for a second. I think we've talked about it on previous episodes. Who mm-hmm. do you think is going to be the first mainstream person to release an XC race bike type bike that's a 32?
What was the prototype that we saw like last
BMC?
Year?
BMC?
I would assume BMC then. I mean, if they've already got a rideable.
The BMC was the one that had an Ohlins fork that had like the extra like step down thing bolted to the fork through axle to make it a 32.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, it was like pretty slick too. But
and they'd like cut up a frame and just like glue. That was like, it was one of the times that you get to see, and I this isn't to sound cool, but like I have friends, I've walked through SRAM. And there's sometimes you see something and you're like,
I've never seen that in a bike shop before.
No, more than that, you look at something, you're like, holy fuck, that's being ridden. And you look at it and it does not look like something that should be ridden. and it's not because it's like that BMC we got to saw, or that BMC that we got
to see.
To see. Yeah.
Well, they actually like cut that bike up and just extended it.
Yeah. Like, oh shit, let me run this through the bandsaw and just glue some more tubes in here.
I mean,
here
that's like the short person getting leg extensions done, dude, by a doctor.
It is, and I'm not like going to say that I've seen a bunch of that stuff. And there was actually a time that I was helping Troy at SRAM, and we were taking things to the test lab. And on the way there, I think we both had like a rolly cart full of stuff. And he's like, you won't be able to go in here. And I was like, cool, man. No harm, no foul. And he's like, just go through the first set of doors and leave it there. And I was like, cool. And I go through the first set of doors, and I'm probably like 2 feet from stopping. And this person looks at Troy and is like, yada, yada. And then sees me and assumes that I'm following Troy. Gets this panicked look on their face, and he's like, he knows. So I haven't seen a lot of stuff, but I've seen some stuff, and it's a lot like that BMC that we were able to get the spy shot. They weren't really spy shots, but it was an odd time in the industry where something that wasn't
finished,
it wasn't a pre-production sample, was shown to the world. And I just think that's really cool. And
I don't necessarily want to see you in pain, but I thought this was going to maybe turn into a I got tased in the neck at SRAM story.
I got tased in the neck at SRAM. You know that scene in Fight Club where he's walking out with like a shopping cart with a computer and stuff? That would be me with just like XX power meters and 303 wheels and stuff. I'd be like... So... yeah, I can't whistle. Thankfully, Andrea would murder me if I could whistle.
Have you guys ever noticed there's always that one dude in the bike shop that fucking whistles?
The whistles.
Yeah, whistling is, it's tough to listen to.
Look, I just want to put that out there. If you are the dude in the bike shop that fucking whistles, just stop it. Because everyone just tolerates it. You're like one step less terrible than the person on the trail with a fucking Bluetooth speaker.
I would say it's more bothersome than the person that is smoking a cigarette like 2 feet outside of the open door.
It definitely is, because that person's going to walk away eventually. And yep, the same thing, like the person with Bluetooth on the trail, like they're going to eventually, you two can part ways, unless it's a bike race, which is it's like on par with being in a bike race with someone around you that has a Bluetooth speaker. Like, no one wants to listen to it. Literally, no one wants to listen to you whistling.
When you have your 100-acre property and you're like chopping wood in the middle of that 100-acre property, then you can whistle.
Oh, yeah. Whistle all day long. But it just... And it doesn't matter how good you are.
Just, in a motor vehicle with all the windows closed at interstate speeds, feel free to whistle.
Yeah.
So back to Kenny's question. Unfortunately, this is not connected with SRAM, and this is not connected to things that I've seen, but I've been told of a production bike that's coming. I am
obligated to not tell.
I am holding back from discussing the bike.
Do you think it has mainstream suspension, or is it like push or DVO or something that's not mainstream?
It is suspension that is already being used in the World Cup XC World.
Gotcha.
So, just going to leave it at that.
Sick. So, it's Suntour.
God damn it, Kenny. You're too good.
No, I mean, for real, Suntour is actually, it's just kind of a joke because...
But the best part
you wouldn't think World Cup XC and Suntour, but they're there.
Formula's there.
But hear me out. The best part about Suntour is they had so many XC forks they didn't sell. They just cut them up and made them 32s with JB Weld. Sorry, I told them I wouldn't tell. They literally just added an inch and a half to the lower with JB Weld using... two sets of lowers. Like, they took one fork and just threw the rest of it away and cut a section of the lowers out and extended the lowers with.
No, they didn't have to do any of that at all. There was already just so much extra material at the bottom. They just drilled the axle lower. All right, what else we got? Should we shut it down?
We have one listener question.
For 2.5 hours.
We have one listener question that is not a very serious one, so it shouldn't take us too long, hopefully. This is from Full Face Kenny Baby Mama. So Kenny, she's calling you out here. And their email is ffkbm@jraforever.com. What are some of your worst dad jokes?
For me specifically?
I mean, I think it's for all of us, but the person is full face Kenny baby mama.
Weirdly enough, you would think I would be a dad joke person, but I'm not the kind of person that just has jokes on my brain. I've never worked that way, whether it's a dad joke or like dirty joke or normal joke or anything like that. I just don't have those like in a holster ready to go, if that makes sense. I'll read them and I'll like chuckle, but like I don't have them just ready to go.
Yeah, I don't either. I try to like forget them as soon as I hear them. I'm more into just dark humor. So
yeah,
dad jokes are on like the total opposite end of that spectrum. So I don't really.
I think none are really coming to mind right now, except for this one that is really, I think, a good embodiment of my approach to dad jokes. I do enjoy them. For some reason, I can't think of many right now. However, when one of my coworkers learned they were going to have their first child, I did order like the, you know, kind of like, why can't I think of this? Not a pocket size, but
like a toilet reading book.
Yeah, a toilet book, like a toilet reading book. And it was like dad jokes to get you started or something. And it was silly. You know, there's like one or two on each page, and it was like $6. And it, you know, the other day he made a good one, and I was like, oh, you've been reading that book? He's like, dude, you know what? Actually, I have. He's like, it's really funny to just breeze through there. But my favorite one, my favorite dad joke is, and it's very applicable to me because I don't have children, is what do you call a guy with bad dad jokes but no children? A faux pas.
Man.
I'll tell you the best dark humor joke that I've seen recently. I guess it would be the worst dad joke ever because it's not, doesn't really qualify. I saw this, it was just like a video clip of joke sort of thing. It's like a lady walking ahead of a casket or behind a casket that I think is meant to be, you know, like her husband or something. She's all in black and she's holding flowers because, you know, she's like holding her husband's funeral flowers walking behind the casket, and she stops and she tosses them over her shoulder. And like one of the old ladies behind her catches it and is like real happy for a second. And then she's like, oh, wait. So that's my favorite worst dad joke I've seen recently.
Should we end the show with a dead baby joke?
That would be a very bad dad joke. That would be one of the worst dad jokes would be a dead baby joke.
Never mind then.
All right. You want to read patrons and wrap it up then?
Sure.
All right. So our patrons starting at $10 per month. We got Kurt, Skunk in Your Trap, Jim the Fucked Up Trike Guy, Burt Reynolds Crusty Stash, Zozo, Eric, Burt Reynolds Mustache, Taper Bore Pro, My Pal Dal, MTB Shenanigans. Hey, which one of you is Clayton? Cam Irish 1, Tennessee Zach, Green Giant, AJ, Leland, Mr. Wonderful and Creative Patron.
Was that Clayton?
Yeah. Ride Time Extended, JC, Gordon, Josh, Fart Noises, Tom's P, Ryan, Bill, Aaron, Cowboy Up, A Gentleman's Club for Reverse Centaurs, Ty, Noah, Cool Beans.
Be nasty.
No, my name is Clayton. Frank the Tank, Goat Roper, Butt Stuff, Chat GPT. At $11.11 per month, Candace Cockfit, Dean at $12 Australian, Patamelon Disco Ball at $14 Australian, and at $20 a month, we have Brian, Scott, Joe, I Want a Mustache Ride from Burt Reynolds, Poop Wrench, at $26.06 per month, Matt's Fork, sure be queefing, Harley at 30, Troy at 31, and Six Pack Outdoors, now offering discounted Venezuelan fishing boat tours. It's a blast. At Fitty.
Anything else?
Nope, shut it down.
All right, and if anyone out there wants to, conspire with me on peer-reviewed articles, you can just email me directly, Andrea@justwritingalongshow.com, or you can fill out the web contact form if you don't remember that. Either one works. They'll both come to my email. So thank you all for listening, and good night.
Thanks for tuning in to the Just Riding Along Show.
There's some shit coming out of your pants.